You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Feb 16, 2021, and much of the nation trapped under a cold, cold, wintry weather storm, and it continues, and moving more now up into the northeast. But a blast of wintry weather dumping snow and ice across the midsection, blamed for at least 10 deaths so far. 4 million Texans might still be without power. As many of the wind turbine farms, the wind fans froze up. And then we also had tornadoes. A tornado ripping through one town in North Carolina, killing at least three, destroying numerous homes. The blackouts are happening across much of the Midwest, stretching all the way from North Dakota to Oklahoma. In the midst of this cold snap, Southwest Power Pool that manages power for 14 states declaring an emergency alert for the entire network this morning. And it's ordering utilities to start rolling blackouts that they worry had in Texas to continue doing so. I have a question. I have a question, and I probably have a complaint at the same time. I'm thinking that a lot of businesses were able to keep their full power on while folks lost power at their home for 2 hours at a time, maybe longer, in these rotation. And I would be willing to bet many of those businesses were not staffed at the time, not full capacity, because folks couldn't get in, and or they can operate without power for a while. They're not an essential service. It wouldn't hurt anything, or at least greatly reduce their power. But the last thing you should be doing is taking power from the people. But they do it. And on top of all this, oil and gas prices continuing to climb, as you would expect. Well, we got wells and refineries and natural gas production in Texas and Oklahoma shut off and can't get to because of the cold, the snow, and everything else. But, as one analyst says, it's a temporary event until we get past blackout stages, power lines get repaired, things get back to normal. But then you got to keep in mind the overall plan of the Democrats is we don't want no stinking fossil fuel. We're going to deal with that in more detail in this hour. The ironic story of how they're dealing with the wind turbines that froze up and how they're fixing them. And they still say we don't want no more stinking fossil fuel. Walmart closing hundreds of stores as a result of that storm. They apparently operate 630 Walmart and Sam's Clubs from Oregon to Florida. They were temporarily closed. Some might be reopening gradually today or tomorrow. We missed the report yesterday because it was Monday and President's Day and everything else like that. So we did not get our weekly Monday report out of Chicago. The extended holiday weekend death count in Chicago, 20 shot, 4 murdered. That's the way they're running things in Chicago. Democrat-run city of Minneapolis decided to get rid of the police, defunding them. They want to get rid of many of the police. What did they do? Well, they did get rid of a lot of them. About 200 missing officers now off the payroll, either extended medical, maybe psychological leave, some quitting, retiring because a Democrat-run city council promised to eliminate policing during the weeks of violent riots. Now what are they doing? Now they're forced to spend $6.4 million to hire more cops. This story, this is one of the ones you almost hate to smile, but you will. They had an explosion in a mosque in Afghanistan. At least 30 were killed. They had all gathered at this mosque to learn how to build explosive devices, a bomb-making class. I think they learned how to make one. France, the lower house of parliament, voting to strengthen government oversight of mosque and religious schools. In France, they say we want to protect French values like gender equality and secularism. They're doing that in France. What are we doing in this nation? By the way, President Trump marked President's Day as he returned to his South Florida home from a day at the golf course. Hundreds had gathered, waving flags, shouting, "We want Trump, we praise Trump." He's not going away. And you would think if you're going to be a burglar, if you're going to be really smart, if you're going to commit a crime, you should be a little smarter than this. Two guys caught because they were apparently breaking into a store in Tacoma, Washington, and then left the area in a hurry. How did they find them? Well, they had new snow, and there were the footprints in the snow leading right away from the location to right where they were. Really smart. Really, really smart.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors, USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When the New York Times turns on Andrew Cuomo, you know something is amiss. Former New York Times reporter, unfortunately not the real New York Times, but a former reporter for them, is doing so, Alex Berenson. And he's calling out CNN's lack of coverage of New York Governor Cuomo's nursing home coronavirus scandal, and saying that the network, quote, has a conflict of interest. That's saying it gently and mildly. But again, Berenson, in an interview of Fox News, said CNN has a terrible conflict of interest here. Well, of course they do. And he adds, I don't see how CNN cannot cover this, but I also don't see how Chris Cuomo can cover his brother. So I don't know what they're going to do. Well, he's talking about, of course, Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, obviously responsible for deaths in New York State in nursing homes, when he told the nursing homes in March by a directive, if you have COVID patients, you have to keep them. You can't send them to the hospital. If the hospital sends an elderly patient to you, you got to take it. And he was setting them up in basically a petri dish to die. He might as well give them a death sentence. In fact, it was for some of them. The most vulnerable being the elderly, those with other issues, easily taken down by COVID. And then, of course, last week, governor's chief of staff, thinking only we're talking to Democrat operatives, saying, well, we did not give you complete numbers because we were not sure what to put out, and we're afraid the government might use them against us. Read that government as Trump, that Trump would use the numbers against them on how many died in nursing homes. We have been asking for these numbers since summer. Since summer, I start saying, I want to know how many died in those nursing homes, because they want to put every death on Donald Trump. Now, there's a big difference between 20,000, 30,000 dying in nursing homes under Cuomo's watch in New York versus the hundreds of thousands otherwise. But here you have a clear case of someone that sent many to their death. And what were they doing on the mainstream media, or as I call it now, the SCM, state-controlled media? They were lionizing him, praising him. And he came out with a book he wrote in April about how great he had done and promoting it. He even had a little poster artwork. He was so happy with that. And all the CNNs, MSNBC and others had him on repeatedly, praising him. He got an Emmy for all of his daily afternoon news conferences. It was sickening in the sense that folks had loved ones in those nursing homes dying because he sent them there. And CNN finally, Chris Cuomo kind of got around to a question at one point. He had to bring it up. This was several days after the story came out last week that the numbers had been fudged. And he said, well, you know, we had the story out there about these nursing home numbers being off and everything. And you know what the governor said? The governor's response is, oh, well, you got your information. I got mine. You know, it's just, it is what you make of it. In other words, he's saying, don't really pay attention. Now, last night, Anderson Cooper apparently did address it for about 5 minutes. But that was the first time he mentioned the nursing home scandal since October. MSNBC last night, primetime lineup, did not mention it. Broadcast networks NBC Nightly News spent 1 minute 37 seconds on the subject. ABC World News Tonight, 33 seconds. CBS Evening News, 25 seconds. All of them kissing up, giving him a pass. And what about the New York Times itself? Every morning I get this report sent to me direct. I told you I invite this slap in the face on a daily basis. It's written by David Lenhart. Kind of an idea of what's coming up in the New York Times, what's really important. What do they have today as their biggest story? He said, good morning. Thank you, David. Good morning to you, too. We're going to look behind the stories for two men who were behind bars for crimes they did not commit. Well, now that, I know, is a good story. But this is the midst of Cuomo under fire, even from state Democrats, that he lied to them, didn't give true and factual information. And investigations are being pushed. His emergency powers might be revoked by the state legislature. They might conduct an inquiry. The Department of Justice might. And the New York Times says the most important thing today is we're going to look at two men sent behind bars for crimes they did not commit. Well, Larry, that was today. What did they do yesterday? I'm glad you asked. What did they do yesterday? Well, I've got that in front of me, too. Because, again, everything was building since last week when the report came from the chief of staff, from Cuomo's chief of staff, that, yeah, we did withhold some numbers, didn't report them because we weren't sure how they might be used against us. And now that clearly says we're looking for a way to avoid punishment, doesn't it? That happened late last week. So you would think the New York Times would certainly get into it over the weekend. They didn't. You think, well, maybe Monday. I mean, it's President's Day. There's not a lot going on. Sure, they would do something then. You know what they did yesterday? I got the letter from David Lenhart, his morning paper. Good morning. Good morning back to you, David. And he tops it with, we explain why Senate Republicans bucked public opinion to acquit Trump. Okay. They wanted to deal with the Trump's impeachment again. Okay. The second item, the GOP is doing just fine. Huh. Well, surely it's down there somewhere. No, I see. No, more on impeachment. And I get things about acquittal reviving speculation about Trump's daughter-in-law. And somewhere down the bottom, I see Myanmar's military sending troops into the street. And then they mention a winter storm. Then they mention a pandemic taking a toll on the mental health of young people. Jeopardy fans mourning the death of a 5-time champ. I mean, there's nothing. There's nothing. Oh, I go deeper. I go deeper in the letter. What do I find deeper in the letter? Something about Cuomo and how he's handled or mishandled the nursing home crisis? Nope. What I do find, why did Rihanna's luxury label fail? I didn't know she had a luxury label. I guess if I'm interested in that, I saw that. But if I read through his morning letter, 5 to 6 pages deep, there's not one damn mention about Cuomo and how he mishandled the nursing homes. And certainly you're not going to have it on, quote, CNN and so forth. We know that. Again, Cuomo prime time host Chris Cuomo, the brother of Andrew Cuomo, constantly criticized for that conflict of interest. When he had his brother on previously, he just kind of glossed over it, didn't make a big deal. Then when the news came out about the deaths being incorrectly reported, again, just kind of tried to sidestep it. They're doing everything they can to cover him up. And so did MSNBC. On its primetime lineup Monday night, Rachel Maddow, Chris Hayes, Lawrence O'Donnell have yet to mention Cuomo's political issues on their program during the pandemic. Riddle me this. Riddle me this. If it had involved Trump, do you not think they would have made it front and center wall-to-wall coverage? Of course. And they think we're stupid. We don't see that. We don't realize that they're doing all this. Even Democrats are recognizing it. That's why they're busy in New York State calling out Cuomo. They don't like what's happened either. They think more should be done about it, and they want Cuomo. And, of course, keep in mind, a lot of Democrats in New York State really don't like Cuomo. That includes legislators. In the last hour, I had John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from New York. And if you missed the interview, John's always a good interview. If you missed it, remember, you can always go and get it on a podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Podcast will be up a little bit later today. And you can get it and then hear and listen to it. And by the way, I suggest you subscribe. It costs you nothing to subscribe. And go ahead and put your email and your name in, and we'll just send it to you every day. So you don't have to worry about missing one. And we do not sell our list, so don't have to worry about that. But John LeBoutier, former U.S. Congressman, pointed out in the last hour, there are a lot of Democrats in New York that absolutely hate Cuomo. Why? Why? Because he always is demeaning to them, looks down on them. I'm better than thou. That's kind of his attitude. And I think we see it, don't we? So when he's been asked recently, do you want to apologize for how you mishandled him? No, I have no apology. You know who he's going to blame? Not himself. He turns right around and blames the nursing homes, the staff at the nursing homes, the visitors who were at the nursing homes, anyone but me. This is the typical story of the kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar. And he's got chocolate chips smeared all over his face. And his hand is in the jar. And he still says, it wasn't me, it was my brother. And, of course, in this case, the brother is on CNN. And he's certainly not going to call out his other brother. A long-time New York nursing home worker on Fox News today said that the governor's office gave nursing home staff, quote, no plan. No plan. This director has been within the industry for 30-plus years and said Cuomo never gave any kind of plan, and then blasting him for never taking responsibility for anything. You know, Cuomo said the only mistake is we made a mistake in creating the void. We made a mistake in creating the void. When we don't provide information, it allows press people, cynics, politicians to fill a void. How many times this guy can dance around like that and the mainstream, or now the state-controlled media, continues to give him a pass? If you really want to claim, if you work at CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest of them, ABC, NBC, so forth, can you really stand there and say you're a journalist when you don't even devote any time to this? Not one bit? Wait a minute. I don't want to say you didn't give some. If you're NBC, you at least spend a minute 37 on it. ABC World News, CBS, well, ABC did 33 seconds. CBS did 25. CBS News, the hallmark, supposedly, of journalism. You see how far we have come. I get folks all the time saying, I wish you were back on TV. I said, you know what? I don't think I'd want to be back under these conditions, because I would not fit. Because I would not take this BS and spread it back out there without questioning it. And there's not one journalist that exists at any one of those operations that is asked to push the question. And, of course, I understand they want to keep their job. I understand that. But how many times can you do that and you don't get labeled as you obviously are not in journalism? And then we got Dr. Anthony Fauci, the White House chief medical examiner. He was asked about Cuomo. What's your comment on Cuomo mishandling of the coronavirus? He got to ask that question. Yeah, he got asked that question actually on a CNN presentation with Jim Sciotto. Dr. Fauci, what do you have to say about that? You want to, what would be, what would you like to say? He said, I can't really explain. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm honestly not trying to evade your question, but I'm not really sure of all the details. And I think if I made a statement, it'd be misconstrued, misquoted. He had no time. Dr. DeFauci had no problem at any point coming down on Trump without any facts at any time. But here this is in front of him by Cuomo, and I defer. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about these windmill farms and how they did not generate the power that was needed and what, ironically, steps were taken to get them moving again. Coming up.
Larry Connors, USA.
So earlier today, I put out on a tweet that the way I wrote it, let me get it up here so I can give you the full story. I don't want to misquote myself, obviously. But I was talking about these issues in Texas because they have these wind turbines that they're having a lot of problem with. And by that, we're talking about that they had problems and that they froze up. They actually froze up. And I pointed, just wondering, is God using this deep freeze to get rid of COVID in the U.S.? I do know this for certain. He's always in control, even if mere mankind cannot understand. And then I pointed out how funny, ironic it would be that these turbines in Texas, how they were either funny or ironic, depending on how you want to choose it, turbines froze. In some cases, they had to use a de-icer, which is a fossil-based de-icer. And they had to spray it on those turbines using helicopters, using fossil fuel. So I had somebody write back, you're better than this, Larry, at least you used to be. People in your home state having to suffer through blackouts or an unprecedented winter storm is not too funny. Well, I'm not making fun of those who are actually suffering. I'm talking about the irony of what they're having to do as we push to this Green Deal. Do you know which state has the most wind turbines trying to produce energy? The number one state is, well, let me tell you, number five first, Illinois. Number four, Oklahoma. California is number three. Surprised me, I thought it'd be higher. Iowa is higher at number two. Texas is number one. And apparently producing, if I'm reading this right, 17 plus million watts or whatever. Anyway, it's way above the others. Almost double the combined number of Iowa and California. Now, these wind turbines are put in places, either offshore or on land, where they have a lot of windy area, obviously. Well, you get some cold, cold weather like they did in Texas and this freezing sleet and everything else, they got problems. Tucker Carlson pointed that out on his program. He's talking about what happened in Texas. He said, 15 years ago, there were virtually no wind farms. Last year, roughly a quarter of all power generated in that state came from the wind. Local politicians really happy. They bragged about using it because they were going to be protecting the landscape. They're going to get rid of the power grid, going to get rid of fossil fuel and so forth. He said all worked until everything got way, way too cold. And they froze up. And then, of course, you got John Kerry, who flies around his jet telling you how to live your life and reduce your carbon footprint while he flies around in his jet. Tucker pointed out, Kerry's never been within 20 feet of them. And in fact, he doesn't want them near him. He said they don't have wind farms in Aspen or Martha's Vineyard, and they're not going to get them. That's right. Martha's Vineyard, all those folks who live up there in Nantucket have thought with that area. There was a plan at one time to put wind turbines out in the water off of Martha's Vineyard, and they fought it, said, no, it would destroy our beautiful view. So the elite who lived there in Martha's Vineyard don't want the wind turbines in their view. But in your house area, that's fine. And, of course, keep in mind, they kill a lot of birds every year. Birds are flying to these things, or they're butchered to pieces. wind turbines, like I say, Texas, generating more power than any other state using them. And, of course, we have the green people saying we want to get rid of all fossil fuels and go to this all the time. How many people would be suffering if we had only that going in Texas at this point? Coming up, Dr. Pham on the latest on COVID. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest we've had on numerous times before. He's an expert with the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Kevin Pham, a practicing MD. And we turn to him for a lot of information about the COVID and the variations coming. Dr. Pham, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Thanks so much for having me back.
Well, the first thing I want to jump into is because a lot of folks are raising concern about these variants, and I got a report here that supposedly a 25-page medical study published online Sunday, yet to be peer-reviewed, talking about seven new variants popping up since last summer, and there's a concern they might be even more contagious. What's the word on that?
Well, there may be seven new variants that's been recently identified. But the thing with viruses is that they all mutate, they all change over time. So we're hearing about seven. We're hearing about the two big ones are the one from the UK and the one from South Africa. But these are just two or seven out of literally thousands of variants. They've been tracking this since this time last year. And there are thousands of identifiable strains that are unique from one another. But, you know, this is really not uncommon. It's really not, it's not surprising to anybody who studies virology. The main thing that is concerning is whether these variants are different enough from the original baseline strains that they're going to be able to evade immunity and vaccinations in particular. And what they found so far, at least with the UK and the South Africa one, is that the current vaccines will cover for the UK, variant, and they seem to have, less protection against the South Africa variant, but the vaccines generate a large enough antibody response and possibly T cell immunity response that you should still have at the very least some protection against the South Africa variant. So what this really means as far as any future variants is that the vaccines that we have right now will provide some, if not full, protection against any new variants. That's sort of how antibodies work in the body.
Well, to that extent, I mean, a lot of these vaccines are two shots. You get one, and then you come back, 3 weeks or so later, and they get a second shot. And a lot of folks are questioning if they're going to be effective anyway, and are we really seeing evidence? I know you did a piece last week for the Daily Signal as a contributor for them that talked about how they are, what data is showing about the impact so far, and reference that data. Are they really accomplishing what we expect and want?
We are currently in a very steep decline in the number of hospitalizations and cases. But
we don't have that many vaccinated. So, I mean, what's the reason?
Because we're targeting, even though we only have a certain percentage of the population vaccinated, depending on which state you are, but I think it's no more than 10% of any state, we are targeting these vaccines to where they're going to be the most effective. So, for instance, with regards to hospitalizations, most of the hospitalizations and deaths have been in those who are either elderly or in long-term care facilities.
Right.
That's where all of the, no matter how well each state has deployed the vaccinations, all of them have at least prioritized healthcare workers and long-term care facilities. And so you're going to see a drop-off in the most important cases, which are the cases that get escalated into hospitalizations. Other than that, then, these are also going to people who are working with other people, you know, especially healthcare workers, who are probably an important vector of of COVID-19 because they work with people who are sick and they're transmitting to other people.
Well, of course, you mentioned nursing homes. Andrew Cuomo's having to do a dance up there as to what went wrong in his state when he issued that order in March to they had to stay in nursing homes, and now the numbers got fudged. I don't want to get into all that with you. We did considerable of that previously, this hour and last hour. But what I do see is that more folks want schools to reopen, and the CDC issued updated guidelines last Friday saying that the new guidelines are, quote, free from political meddling and using, quote, available science. I still see that the CDC says you can open up the schools, and yet we see in Chicago and others it's a labor union fight that we're not going to go back.
Right. At this point, there is, to be very charitable, there isn't, the science doesn't, let me just put it this way. None of the science supports school closures. There's nothing that shows that schools have been driving any form of outbreaks or spreads in this pandemic.
Would you repeat that one more time? Because I want to make sure the folks heard that, because that's a direct statement as to how the schools do or do not affect the COVID. Go ahead, sir.
Right. There is zero science that supports further school closures, and school closures have not been found to be driving this pandemic in any way, shape, or form. No major outbreaks have been linked back to schools. And that's not to say that schools should reopen fully to normal. You know, you can take some precautions, but long story short, schools should not be closed. Students should be in the classroom learning with teachers there.
Good. Many parents want to see that as well. Now, the other issue, I mean, they've been talking about double masking. Oh, now it's not enough to just wear one mask. You really should wear two. And as a matter of fact, I'm sitting here thinking, well, if two are good, then four or six might be better. Pretty soon you're not breathing. You don't have to worry about COVID, but we might be planning a funeral.
Exactly. You can just hold your breath for the next 8 weeks and then you'll be fine.
Yeah. What's all this about additional masks? I mean, and I'm afraid, I still think that even when we have vaccinations and the numbers are way down, you're still going to have businesses posting must wear a mask to enter. And folks are going to be saying, I'm tired of that. I don't want to live the rest of my life with a mask. Not going to do it.
Yeah. No, there's going to be a time when we just don't need to wear a mask. The whole point of masking broadly is that, you know, people who are potentially contagious are not transmitting the virus if they're wearing a mask. And so if we get to the point where we don't have to assume everyone else is infected, which I think in several parts of the country, we're already there, then we shouldn't have to wear it. The double masking thing, however, is not really about the number of masks that you wear. It's really about a well-fitted mask. So if you have a mask that has some little metal nose clip in it and then it's tied fairly tight, that's really all that the CDC reports that. The effort to push double masking it really emphasizes that masks by themselves are not sufficient to stop the spread of the pandemic. They're only ever supposed to be one part of the broader mitigation strategy. So focusing on double masking is like if you want to say people in car accidents, have everyone wear a 5-point harness with a roll cage. You know, that's just not reasonable at that point.
Right. Now, you back in December, folks, you're listening to Dr. Kevin Pham, a heritage expert on the COVID. Back in December, you stated that I'm a doctor and I plan to get the coronavirus vaccine when it's available. That was back in December. I don't mm-hmm. know if you have at this point. I would consider, since you're a practicing physician, you probably should as essential. But tell me, have you and are you still on that track that you will take it? Because I haven't decided if I'm going to get it anyway. I haven't had a flu shot for 8, 10 plus years. I've been fine.
So I'm not in clinical practice at this time.
Okay.
So I'm not in the priority list for getting the vaccinations, but I am, so I haven't gotten it yet, but I am looking for, some clinics have a will call feature where like if someone misses their vaccination appointment,
right,
then they'll offer it to the next person in line. And I've been trying to get vaccinated that way.
Yeah. What about those that, and I've heard others say the similar thing that, I don't think I'm going to bother getting it. I've gotten this far, and I just don't think I need to worry about it. I'm not saying it can hit me, but it's like the flu. I haven't really had the flu, to my knowledge, about the last 10, 12 years without the flu shot. Or if it is a mild headache, a little tired, and then I'm over it. And thank God, it's not just me. I have to thank God in that process. But I think a lot of Americans have also reached that point. And what about kids with the vaccines?
So currently, the vaccines have not been authorized for children under 12 or children under 16, depending on which vaccine that you're looking at. So So this deals especially with the process of school reopening. It is completely unreasonable to say that children must be vaccinated before schools reopen. Schools, as I said, schools are not driving the pandemic, and the vaccines are not authorized for students. So it's really completely unreasonable to ask students to be vaccinated before schools reopening. For everyone else, you know, I don't support vaccine mandates. And I think it's reasonable to be skeptical about this vaccine. I have a lot of friends who are not planning to get it. I'm getting it as soon as it's available to me. But, it really depends on everybody on each person to evaluate the risk in their own life.
Right.
If you have multiple conditions that could predispose you to more severe outcomes, I think it's more important to get the vaccine. But if you're relatively young, otherwise healthy, and you decide that you don't want to get the vaccine, you know, I think that's reasonable. It would be helpful for the COVID numbers, I believe, if everyone got vaccinated, but it's I think it's reasonable not to.
Okay. Well, it kind of reminds me of there used to be a comedian billed as a Cajun comic, Justin Wilson, and he used to say, I believe in double safety. I wear suspenders and a belt. So maybe that's what you're talking about here. but at this point, I mean, in the last 30 seconds, you do see we're making progress, or the tests are just not showing up that much lately, or where do you see us in the next 2 months from top of your head?
Well, I think within the next few weeks, we're going to get back down to the bottom of this peak that we're currently in. And then within a couple of months, then we're going to be down to late summer levels of hospitalizations for COVID. And I think a large part of this, we're dropping in cases and hospitalizations really quickly. And a large part of that, I think, has to do with the vaccines. And if we keep this rate up, we're going to see this thing really stamped out.
Good.
As far as a really controlling pandemic by probably sometime this summer.
All right. I pray that's right. Dr. Pham, we always appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Dr. Kevin Pham with the Heritage Foundation. That'd be good news, wouldn't it? Get businesses opened up and everything. Speaking of businesses and going out to eat, what do you like about fake beef? Me? Nothing. That story's still to come.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, here's where the rubber meets the road, as we say, down deep south Texas. And that is, I mean, when you come to beef, if I'm going to have beef, if I want a steak, I want a steak. I don't want some plant disguised to look like a steak. A friend of mine, a lawyer friend. Yes, I have friends who are lawyers. I mean, Jesus was with the sinners, the tax collectors and so forth. I'm only joking. Yeah, boy, am I going to hear about that. But he said, let's go out and eat. Oh, say. So we picked a place to go eat, and just have some steak. I haven't had that in a while. Now, I'm very particular about the steak. I don't want it overcooked, but I don't want it bloody either. So when I say medium plus, I mean, I'm just looking at a very thin, thin layer of pink. That's the way I like it best. Some like there's a little more rare. That's fine. It's your choice. But it's still beef, right? Well, you do know that the Green Party, AOC, and the rest of them, they all want to get rid of cows in general. You do know that, right? Why? Well, because of methane emissions, because of cows. What's that got to do with cows? Well, cows have a big problem with flatulence, is a nice word of saying farting. When they eat a lot of grass, they fart a lot of gas. They do. Grass leads to the gas for the cows. And they're estimating if we could reduce the amount of livestock needed for real beef, then we could have a 20% reduction around the world in methane. But you wouldn't have as many steaks available. If you did, you'd have to pay a much, much bigger price. Well, then there are those who are coming forward and saying to avoid a climate disaster. In fact, a guy wrote a book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster. I'll tell you who in a minute. And he said, one of the things we need to do is go to the decision that you're not going to have the ribeye. You're not going to have the real meat anymore. He said, I do think all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. You can get used to the taste difference. That's what he says. And the claim is they're going to make it taste even better over time. Now, again, this is somebody that's all sold in on that and bought in, and I will bet you that that is one of the examples, and many others around the group would be the first out, and they will be having the real steak while you're sitting out there eating your plant beef. Of course, they're always going to tell you what to do. I'm talking about Bill Gates. He says the wealthiest country should ditch beef and go to plant-based alternatives to fight global climate change. Mainly stop all the cows from farting. That's right. He said the 80 poorest countries still had to rely on real meat consumption. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you do that for them? They're not already having meat generally anyway. But that would be, again, you against us, them, that type of thing. The bottom line is, this is something they're going to try to push down your throat, literally. You think I'm kidding? I got another example in a minute. You already know there's things called Beyond Meat that's produced by a group that makes the Impossible Burger Patties at one of the large chains, and it's very little beef, if any. But when they say you'll get used to the taste, let me tell you this. You can get used to the taste of rattlesnake or possum or armadillo or squirrel or rabbit, but that might not be what you really prefer. I've had all of those. Yes, all of them. And when somebody tells you after you have a bite of rattlesnake, what's it taste like, and you say it tastes like chicken, I got to tell you, anytime somebody tells you something tastes like chicken, but it's not chicken, it probably doesn't taste like chicken, unless they did it the same oil that did the chicken. But Bill Gates thinks we, being one of the world's richest countries, we should get rid of real beef and go to plant-based alternatives. We won't have all the livestock production. We won't have as many cows, all the burping cows, and the beef methane farts, all that stuff. But just go away. Help us out considerably. All right, now for some of you that you don't like beef anyway, then you're all for it. Now I'm going to give you something that this is stepping on blue suede shoes for some of you now. What about candy? What about candy? Nestle has already been doing a lot of non-dairy type cheese products and so forth previously, and non-beef burgers as well. Now they're rolling out in Britain a vegan version of Kit Kat. A Kit Kat, that's right. It's certified vegan, 100% sustainable cocoa, they say. They're not saying exactly what they're subbing in. They have in the past used rice, oat, soy, coconut, pea, almonds for other plant-based offerings. Now, they can't do it with peanuts because folks might have an allergic reaction to peanuts. But they want to take Kit Kats and make them not real chocolate. Now are you getting upset? For those of you who thought it's all great to just get rid of beef, but now we're talking about a candy, Kit Kat. You know where that's going to go. If they do it with Kit Kat, then how soon before Reese's Buttercups or M&M's? Or all the rest of that stuff. It just suddenly, it's not real chocolate anymore. Do you feel like you're being gypped? Oh, they'll say you'll get used to the taste. Yeah, good. You go ahead and do that. No, I want the real thing. I want the real beef and the real chocolate. By the way, the lawyer said, we decided at the end, we would split the bill. There was a one penny extra. One penny extra when it was split. He stiffed me for that extra penny. I had to pay one penny more than he did. I'm calling him out. Hey, I appreciate you joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.